So I want to talk about kind of a pickup on last week's message on conquering the giants in our land. How many know we need to conquer things in our land to inherit what God wants for us? How many know that according to the word of God, to the people of Israel in the Old Testament, God said that I give you the land as your inheritance forever. All you have to do is cross over the land, and you have to drive the inhabitants out. You know, so there was, for some, a little catch there because there were giants in the land. And they and remember the Minority Report prevailed. They sent 12 spies over. You remember the story. Sent 12 spies over, one from each of the tribe of the nation of Israel. And they came back with a report. And there was two reports. One was the majority, one was the minority. How many know that the majority isn't always right? And we talked a little bit about that last week. And the two in the minority report were Caleb and Joshua. And for last week's message's sake, you know, we talked about Caleb and the heart that he had and the character that he had. And his response, here's a big thing, his response to a negative situation over the 40 to 45 years, 40 years of coming back and then crossing over with Joshua and the people of Israel, that Joshua generation, he didn't come over with an attitude or a bit of bitterness in his heart. For the past, he was just ready to inherit what God had for him at a delay. And we want to talk today about faith, having faith when facing delays. How many have ever prayed and believed God for something and you knew that you knew that you knew that God was in it, that God had given you a promise, but it just hasn't come to pass? And you're praying and prayed and you just don't understand that. Well, there's sometimes faith, our promises are delayed. The answer to prayer is delayed. And we want to talk a little bit about that, that is not abnormal. Oftentimes that's normal. And oftentimes our faith is being tested. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1 that faith shows the reality of what we hope for. In other words, it's not visible yet because he said it is the evidence of things we cannot see. And oftentimes we don't see the answer to our prayers or how that's going to play out in the long run. And when they are answered, what does that answer look like? And oftentimes we concoct in our imaginations what that looks like. And we tell God how he's going to answer prayer. And he's going to do it this way. And this is going to be the result of it. But God knows better. How many know that he is wiser than we are? That he knows exactly what we need. Not just what we want, but what we need. And he provides what we need. His main intent for us, I want you to hear this. Many of you know it, but oftentimes we need to be reminded of a truth and a biblical principle, is God is more concerned about the development of your character than the trial that you're going through. And so during this time of delay, character will be developed, either good or bad, depending on your attitude about the negative things that are happening in your life that you keep praying for a change. So we find here that as we review the life of Caleb and his life story, that he believed God. If anybody deserved to get his prayer answered, it was Caleb. Caleb, he believed the Lord. He had great faith. He believed what God had told him. He believed what God had promised, is that we will be delivered from slavery, 400 years of slavery in Egypt, and we will go into inherit the land that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was ready to go. When do we start? And Joshua was ready to go. When do we start? And they were wanting to push the pedal to the metal on that bus, that Israelite bus, and cross over into the promised land and take the land, even though there were giants in the land and there were high-walled cities and there were more people better equipped and better armed than what they were, they still believed that with God all things are possible. Do you believe that? Caleb believed it. Joshua believed it. He believed in the Lord. He believed what God said. He believed that God was not a man that he could lie. He was one of the 12 spies, as we said, and he was so excited about what God was had in store. You know, sometimes, you know, like with Renee, and we've talked privately last week, and I'm so excited about what God has in store for her and her ministry. I have been for over a year and a half and believing that God had something better for her. I mean, what was in the past was wonderful, but God has something greater. And I get excited about the potential and the possibilities of purpose that God has for his people. I'm excited about Pastor Mike and Christy. They're just still young people. They're just kids. Again, they're big kids, but they're kids. And I'm excited about Pastor Diana. She's a bigger kid. I'm excited about Pastor Mike Cassell and Christy and what God has in store for them. You know, I just feel it every time I'm around these younger people and the potential that they have. I see God all over them, the hand of God all over them. And it's like, if I could just get a little glimpse, God, I'm excited about what I don't see, because faith is not exactly what we see, it's what we hope for. Hope is a confident thing in the New Testament, by the way. It's not a, I wish, I hope, you know, it's not a wishful thinking. It's a confident thing. And it's there even though we don't see it. And so we dream it. We feel it. We can almost taste it. Are you tracking what I'm saying here? I mean, do you feel that way? I mean, when I feel God moving, and when God gives me a word and just this prompting from the Holy Spirit about the future for Calvary, and I just get excited. I don't know what it is. And I say sometimes to the board or to Nick, and I'll talk and I'll say, I don't know what it is, but I really feeling that God is up to something. And I wish I knew what it was, but he kind of veils that a little bit and wants us to just hunger for it. Don't you? You know that? It's like Christmas time. How many were you the type of child, the ilk of people as children that would sneak and find out where the presents were hidden before Christmas? And if they were wrapped up, you had this sneaky and crafty way of peeling back the tape so you could pull it out and look and see what it was and put it back and tape it back up and hide it back again. And my older sister was like that. And then she would come and spoil Christmas for the younger ones and say, I know what you're getting for Christmas. This is what it is. And it's like, Mom! We were whiners, you know, back then. Some people say I'm still a whiner. Yeah, but you love me anyway, right? I mean, good people, we love whiners. But God has the hidden things, and we know that it's good. It's always good. We don't always know what it is. So we our hearts dream and imagine. And so much of the time, that imagination, even the dreams, we find out later that they were God dreams. That's exactly what he had for us. We were dreaming about it. God says, I'm going to bring this to pass in your life. And you got this excitement in your spirit. You're longing for it. And you don't know when it's going to happen, but it happens. Well, sometimes faith has to be exercised. It's tested when we have delays in that fulfillment and the appropriation of that thing that God has for us. Caleb knew what God had for him. You know, he didn't know about the promise. He just heard stories about the promised land back in Egypt. He heard stories about it on the other side of the Jordan River as they were receiving the law of God and the covenant, making covenant with God. And then he was like, do we have volunteers? Moses would say, I don't know if Moses did this, but I think Moses selected people that he saw God's hand on, which is the right way to do things in ministry when you're a leader, rather than just looking for a warm body. But I think if Moses asked for volunteers, Joshua and Caleb's hand, pick me, I want to go, I'll go. I know it's dangerous. I know I might lose my life over there, but pick me. I'll spy out the land. And they were chosen, however it happened, to go across and see the land and see it for the first time. And they were supposed to bring back a report of what they saw. And when they came back with the report. They had a close call with some of the armies over there and the kings over there, a kingdom called Jericho, which we know what happened there. And they came back across. But they came back with stuff. They came bearing gifts. Anybody remember what it was? They had some of the produce and the fruit of the land. And they came back. And they all agreed on this. All 12 agreed on this. It was a land that is flowing with milk and honey, Renee. Flowing with milk and honey. And it's just exactly the way God described it. How many? God is always right. And it's just an incredible fertile land, and there's houses and lands and kingdoms over there, and the fruit. Look at the fruit. Look at the size of these grapes. I mean, they're like grapefruits. You know, I don't know if there were, but they were, and they were sweet to the taste. And as they were tasting the fruit, here's the thing about Caleb. He already saw it. He had a foretaste of what God had for him, and it was in his soul and in his dream that we're going to inherit the land. But the sad thing is they were voted out by the majority who believed a bad report. Not only did they believe a bad report, they went one step further and they spread a bad report. You ever know anybody in a church situation? Maybe not here, because I don't think that's happened here. At least I'm not aware since I've been here, but people who go around spreading bad reports about things and they talk about situations and they talk about and they spread things, sometimes lies, to get what they want. You're getting awful quiet on me. I don't know if it's a conviction of the Holy Spirit or if you're just, boy, does that happen? I hope if you've been here very long, you're saying, does that really happen, Pastor? Because it hasn't happened here that I know of. But they spread a bad report, and they turned the whole nation against the plan of God and the will of God. And because of that, we know the story. God said, you're not going to enter the promised land. This whole generation is going to die except for two people. And that's the two who were faithful and who believed me and who were willing to go. And we know the story there. So Caleb's dream was delayed. Joshua's dream was delayed. How many know that that was not fair? Anybody, that's not fair, right? God said, you know, that's just not fair. They shouldn't have to suffer because other people don't believe. But sometimes that happens. Can I tell you, sometimes, just I'm a pastor, in a church situation, a pastor and maybe some of the leaders, they have a vision from God, a dream that God has put into their soul, in their heart, and they share that dream with a congregation. And when the congregation form a government, they vote, they're just like, no, we can't go there. No, we can't do this. No, we'll never be able to do that. We shouldn't take a risk. And the dream gets squelched and it dies. And the pastor's heart is heavy and he resigns. Moses didn't resign. He stayed with the congregation. We call him a congregation for this sake. And he pastored them until the first generation died. Second generation comes up. They come up with faith believing because the first generation said, boy, did we screw up. We should have listened to God. We should have obeyed what God wanted us to do. And they went to their grave with regrets. Can I just admonish you? I don't care if you're young or old. Plan ahead of time, setting goals so that you don't go to your grave with regrets. Plan your life in such a way in obedience to God and honoring His purposes for your life and your ministry so that 10,000 years from now, when you're in heaven, that you don't look back and shed tears that Jesus has to wipe away. He'll wipe away all tears, the scriptures say, in heaven. What are those tears about? I think sometimes they're going to be tears of regret that in life I had this opportunity, this season of time. I heard the voice of God. I knew it was God's will, but I was too afraid to cross over into the land that God wanted me to inherit. And oftentimes, and most times, rule of thumb is when we don't do what we're supposed to do, other people suffer for it, especially in leadership. So let's obey God. Somebody say amen. Let's obey God. You know, facing this, the power and promise of God's word, Rebecca Hayward Bauer said this about this. Caleb saw the same giants. He saw the same walled cities as the other spies did. But the other 10 spies came back with a completely different report of unbelief. Caleb's words declared, listen to this, look up here. Caleb's words declared a conviction, a confession before all of the people of Israel, we can certainly conquer the land. He had surveyed the land with the other 12, the other 11, and a reminder, which is a reminder that faith is not blind. He knew the odds were stacked against them in the natural. He knew that in human terms, it is impossible for us to do this, just like the 10 other spies who had the negative report. So faith is not blind, but faith does not deny the reality or the difficulty, she says, but it declares the power of God in the face of the problem. And so things may be bad. Having a positive faith confession isn't saying and lying about it and saying it's not bad. It's not bad. It's really not bad. It's really good. It's good. I'm not going to say anything negative. It's saying, yeah, they're like Joshua and Caleb, yeah, there are giants in the land. Yeah, there's high and walled cities. And yeah, we're outnumbered and outgunned. But our God is able. We got to have a positive faith confession in the light of the shadow of the giants. We have to believe that the overshadowing of God and His height is going to overshadow the giants and put a shadow in their life. That our God is able to do exceedingly above and beyond all that we can ask or think. That our God is able to take us into the land and we can conquer the land because He promised that not only would we conquer and would we inherit it, but He would go before us and He would wipe out the enemy and drive them out ahead of us. All we have to do is follow Him across the river and obey Him, and He'll give us the victory. And the same is true. This happens historically, but the same is true spiritually for us. As God wants to take us into the land of promise, He wants us to inherit the land that we have. But sometimes there's delays. Sometimes it's caused by other people who cause delays in our life because they stand in the doorway. And when that happens, as has happened to me a couple times in my ministry and my life, is you know, I don't immediately go to the place where God wanted me to go because somebody stood in the doorway. And I said, well, God, that's not fair. You know, strike them with lightning, God. I'm so gracious and, you know. but fire and brimstone come. But when that happened, I didn't understand. I was scratching my head because I knew that I knew that I knew. And Donna knew and our district superintendent knew. This is the church where you're supposed to go. And I remember Leon Freitag telling me, this is where you're supposed to go. You're supposed to be here. I feel that in my heart. I knew it right away, Pastor Tim. And yet, it didn't happen. And so what happened? It was delayed. And so for several months, sent my resume out other places. Did a lot of interviews. Had a couple of offers and turned them down because I knew it wasn't God. Until this one came. And so, because man stood in the doorway there, God says, I'll do something better for him. I'll give something better. And I'll bring him here instead. And I'll do something great here. Even though he's not so great, I'll do something great. How many know that you don't have to be great because God is? You don't have to have the talents and the abilities, but God does, and he'll bring people alongside of you to bring past the vision that he gives you. And it's the same way with this church on the other side of the highway in the old neighborhood. There were delays to the promise that we knew that God wanted us to have. And it was frustrating and aggravating and irritating. And you looked at God, what's going on, God? Why don't you do something? And God said, I am. There's going to be a delay. And our faith was tested, and our resolve was tested. You know, going back and asking God, did you really hear the voice of God, or was that just me? And each time it was like confirmed, no, this is God's plan, but I don't know what's going on. How many have ever been in a situation like that in your personal life where you say, God, I don't know what's going on. I just don't know what you're doing. Why are you letting this happen? And so Caleb probably felt that way, but he went through probably a gauntlet of emotions. Maybe got over the grieving part. There's a process to grieving. You know, part of it is anger and resentment, sometimes anger at God. And I don't know if he went through all that, but he weathered the storm and he pressed through to victory. Others who have to wait for the promise, you know, in Scripture, just a few, and I was just thinking of a few when I wrote this, is Abraham. Abraham had to wait a long, long time for the promise. He waited and waited for an heir that God had promised him. They got old, him and his wife, beyond the age of childbearing. Physically, it was impossible. In fact, it was not just impossible, it was definitely impossible. And yet God said, somebody say God said, God said, your wife Sarah will give birth to a child, and he is the promise that I have given to you. He's the heir. And God, how many know? We know the story from this side of Calvary and looking back in the Old Testament. He had a son, and it was a miraculous birth. God brought it to pass, but he had to wait, and he had to continually wait and wonder, when is this going to come to pass? I don't know that Abraham ever doubted. I think he was like, how is this? His mind was like, how is this ever going to happen? But God said, reminding himself of that until the promise came. He was promised the land, that if you'd walk the length and the breadth of the land and go walk out the land and camp in the land, it's going to be yours and your descendants forever. I'm going to give it to you. And how many know that Abraham died before he ever inherited the land? It was his, but it was in someone else's control. David, he was anointed king while Saul still wore the crown. And David waited. He had to wait until God brought him to the throne. He waited for Saul to die. He didn't take shortcuts, even though he had opportunity to do that. He had several opportunities to take Saul's life, and he would have ascended to the throne, but he would have ascended there with blood on his hands, touching God's anointed. And David didn't want to do that. I won't take the throne on those terms. He waited for God to bring it to pass in his time. David had delays. We look back on David and we see that during those delays, when his faith was tested, because waiting for the promise to be fulfilled, David developed the character that was needed for him to rule in Jerusalem over the people of Israel. Had he taken the shortcut, his character would have been flawed. Daniel waited for answered prayer. Remember that in Daniel chapter 10, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. So what should we do when there are delays in the promises of God? Number one is to continue to pray. Don't stop praying. I've had many people tell me over the years that I prayed and prayed for this. I'm just not going to pray anymore. It's like, that's a bad choice. That's a really bad choice. I've had the attitude sometimes that I'm just not going to pray anymore for that. And then I get convicted, and God says, you can't do that. You got to keep believing. You got to keep praying. If this is going to come to pass, it's going to pass because you're going to be praying. I will tell you something. When I was 15 years old, 14 years old, actually, I got saved at a Kansas City Youth for Christ rally, and I got gloriously saved, and God delivered me and saved me. It was an incredible thing. And I prayed for my mother and my dad and my family, and I prayed for my grandmother and my grandpa and my aunts and uncles. I prayed for God to save them because I was, as far as I knew, the only born-again Christian in the whole family. And I prayed and I prayed, and as a teenager, you know, you really got short patience. You want it right then. That was before the technology boom. And I wanted it so bad, and 15 and a half, year and a half after my conversion, I got so discouraged, I walked away from God thinking God doesn't answer prayer. During the time that I was backslidden for those 3 years, my grandmother got saved. There was a revival at the church in York, Nebraska, where my aunts and my uncles and their spouses got saved, and they were just baptized in the Holy Spirit. My older sister got saved. The one younger than her got saved, and then it was like, God answered prayer even though I was unfaithful. Our prayers are kept, as we did in one of our Bible studies, are kept in heaven as a memorial to the Lord. God takes our prayers and holds them. And we don't oftentimes see the results of our prayers until we're in heaven. That's what Abraham did. He saw the Israelites inherit the land. He saw Joshua cross over. And he saw God pile up the waters as they did. Before that, he saw Moses deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt and cross. You know, he's watching from heaven, the father of faith. So what do? We continue to pray. Daniel received a disturbing vision about the end times and concerned Israel, his people, while he was in captivity in Babylon. Daniel was an older guy at this time and been there a long time, but he was a wise man. Filled with the Spirit of God and the knowledge and the revelation that he had. He prayed because he didn't receive, and this vision was just weighing heavy on him. I want the interpretation of that. I want to know what's happening. He began to pray from the first time he had the vision, and he prayed because it was so grievous to him. He prayed and he fasted for the interpretation, but nothing happened. And so Daniel said, when this vision came to me, he said, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. I was just agonizing, waiting for the answer of prayer. And always before, God had answered him, given him interpretation. And this time, it just wasn't happening. Verse number 3 of chapter 10 says, all that time, Daniel says, I had eaten no rich foods, no meat or wine crossed my lips, and I used no fragrant lotions until the 3 weeks had passed. In other words, he fasted and he prayed and he's crying out to God. And we find out in just a little bit in this chapter that the answer from the first time he prayed was on the way. But there was an enemy. How many know we have an enemy of our soul? And an enemy of the church and an enemy of God. The enemy tried to stop God's blessing. Verse number 12 says that the angel that came to him said to him, Gabriel came to him, and he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before the Lord your God, your request has been heard in heaven, and I have come in answer to your prayer. And he says in verse 13, but for 21 days, so 3 weeks Daniel was praying, 21 days the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Many people believe, and I do, that these are principalities, that they're demonic spirits who are upper in rank and ruling over a geographical area trying to thwart the will of God and the people of God. That he withstood me for 3 weeks, and then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. And he says, I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. In other words, Michael's a lot more powerful than him. I didn't need to stay and help. Okay? He's got one hand tied behind his back, or one wing, I don't know, you know, one hand. And he could handle him, so I came here to give you the answer. That's my mission. God sent him on his mission. How many know that if Michael needed help, God would have sent it? There's no contest. And there's no contest between Satan and God. Satan is a created being. He's not God, a God, like he'd like you to think he is or like people think he is. And he says, so now I'm here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. Daniel was looking for an answer, looking for an interpretation, and Daniel couldn't get it because there was demonic opposition and blockage. Sometimes that is true with us. The devil still tries the same old tricks, same old strategies with us. He tries to withhold the answer of our prayers from God. He tries to hold back the healing that God wants you to have for your body or your soul. And we have to pray, and sometimes as Daniel, we have to fast and bring that to pass so that God can send warring angels to bring the message back to us. We also not only have to continue to pray, but we have to continue to believe. Continue to believe what we don't see. Continue to believe that we just sense and we know in our spirit, but we don't see it. Continue to believe what you don't see. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 said, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing, say without knowing, he went without knowing where he was going. How many would do that today, just get in the car and go someplace? And move, you know, pack everything up that you own and get the moving van and just head out. You don't know where you're going. Well, that's kind of what Abraham did. God said, if you follow me, I'll take you and show you a land that you'll inherit, you and your descendants forever. And Abraham said, okay. Now, that's faith. How many know, as you read the scriptures, you find out that Abraham wasn't so perfect? Some of you say, well, he must have been perfect. No, he was perfected by God because of his faith and his belief. And God credited to his account righteousness because he believed God. He packed up and he left. He obeyed God. And he went to a place where God showed him. And he sojourned through the land where God told him to go. Abraham didn't know when he left what it was going to look like. He had no idea, except God said it'll be a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, he described it to him. And Abraham had dreams about it, but he just trusted God. A God that his culture and the people in his culture did not worship or recognize. Abraham went and he walked the length and the breadth of the promised land, living in tents and waiting for the promise of an heir. That was a promise of God. If you go there, I'll give you an heir. And the men and the women listed in the great roll call of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, it says of them in there, and I want you to listen to this, that they all died, many of them all died without still seeing the things that they believed in, but they saw it at a distance. That's what it says, verse 13. All these people died still believing. They didn't stop believing, but they continued to believe. Even though they didn't see it, they didn't inherit it yet, but they believed what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance. And they welcomed it. And they agreed that they were foreigners and nomads living on the earth. In the great roll call of faith, it describes that we have this great cloud of witnesses. In Hebrews, saying all these witnesses. So seeing that we have this great cloud of witnesses, you know, what sort of people ought we to be? I just get excited when I think about that great cloud of witnesses, because the list that is given in the scriptures is not exhaustive. We don't believe in praying to our relatives who have gone on to be with the Lord, but I do believe that the scriptures allow for us to believe and understand that they're looking over the balcony of heaven watching us. In this great race, what Hebrews calls a great race, our walk with God. We continue to believe, they continue to believe even though they didn't see. I was thinking about this as I was preparing this, and how many of God's people have had a dream and a promise in this life only to die and then watch it fulfilled from heaven? You know, they didn't give up. My great-grandma Hawthorne, I found this out later in life, I mean, probably maybe even just 10 years ago, that I had a great-grandma Hawthorne and an Aunt Charlotte, a great-Aunt Charlotte. Maybe you've seen great-great. I don't know if it was my dad's. But she believed and prayed, and they prayed for the salvation of their family, even though none of them, as far as I know, ever got saved. In fact, they mocked and made fun of them as being holy rollers. My grandma, my dad's grandmother, he was born illegitimate, and back in those days, it was especially small towns, really talked about. It was a shame. And so his grandmother raised him for a long time. And when my dad got saved, when I led him to Christ at KU Med Center, my dad told me after started quoting scripture to him, reading scripture to him and praying for him, he says, I know that one and I know that. And he was talking about things. And I said, well, Dad, how do you know that? Or something to that effect. Or somebody asked him. He says, because my grandmother taught me that when I was little. See, grandma believed. Grandma prayed for him. Prayed for my mom when they got married. In fact, my dad would get so angry because my mom, just like, she wasn't a Christian, but she didn't get freaked out by it. My grandma would grab hold of him and the two of them pull him down to their knees. He didn't dare not obey her. And wanted them to pray for Jesus to come in their life. And he used to get so angry at that grandma made me do that. She prayed and believed and didn't see anything in this life. But I believe that at KU, probably 5 years ago now at least, that she was looking down over the balconies of heaven. Jesus probably told her, hey, come over here. Come on, Charlotte, you come over here too. Come on. I want you to look down, see what's happening in that hospital room. You remember your grandson that you prayed for? Yeah, he's old and ugly now, but he used to be cute. You know, but look down and watched as he prayed the sinner's prayer and watched as he was baptized in his bed into the kingdom of God. And there was a rejoicing in heaven. Amen. See, and I wanted to remind you that some of you are praying for your kids and your grandchildren, and you haven't seen that happen in this life. Don't stop praying, and don't stop believing. Even if you go to your grave, your prayers are held in vials in the presence of God. And God doesn't forget about your prayers just because you forget about them or because you die and go to heaven. God remembers what you prayed, and God is faithful that He will perform it. He will send the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. He will do everything. He'll move heaven and earth to make it happen if that free will break and submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ as my dad's did. I didn't think it was possible, but with God, all things are possible. It happened. I'd given up on my dad years ago, but how many know God didn't give up, and grandma, great-grandma up in heaven didn't give up, and Charlotte didn't give up, and all those who were praying for him didn't give up. So keep praying, keep believing, keep trusting the Lord. We walk by faith. We believe in the promises of God for our families and for our church. We see these things as far in dreams of our heart, and we see what God wants to do, and we begin to dream, and just over those things, we just ponder them over and over again and say, God, would this happen? I'm just dreaming. Am I just dreaming, or is this your dream? I thought about this when I was thinking about somebody who kept praying, kept believing, somebody who obeyed God, like Abraham, did something that was really kind of silly, just left civilization, went where this unseen God took him. In belief of him, there's a couple of ladies back in 1927 who believed God. Anybody remember who they are? Some of you new folks may not know, but their names were Ida Olson and Louise Arnold. Two women in a day when women in ministry was just unheard of. And they had a burden and a vision that there should be a Pentecostal church in the Twin Cities up here. And so they stepped out by faith and they founded what became Calvary Temple in 1927. 10 years from now, we have our 100th anniversary. Happened 90 years ago last January when they had their first service known as, I believe it was, the Gospel Tabernacle. I wonder if during when they had that dream and promise from God, how many years it was before they finally felt it was God's timing. Maybe they had delays in their promise. But I believe that they're in heaven, the great roll call of faith. They're looking over the balconies of heaven and watching this church. And I believe 2 years ago when we did our dedication service, October 17th and 18th, and that we brought back all the former pastors that were able to come. There was one pastor's wife, a widow, that was not able to come, but she was the only living person that didn't come, who served in leadership. Remember, we had all the pastors here, had a great banquet and a celebration of dedicating this building to the Lord. A superintendent of the district was here, and he spoke and did a tremendous job, a tremendous service, a human video that Catherine Lindstedt got together and trained the big crowd of people to do, and there was special music. It was an awesome day. How many remember it? I remember it like it was yesterday. But up in heaven, there they are, two little ladies that stepped out in faith and believed God for an impossible dream. And they're looking over, and they're saying, oh, I'm so glad I obeyed God. I'm so glad we stepped out of the box. I'm so glad that we did what was really considered to be unnatural in the culture that we lived in. Even two ladies starting to, much less a Pentecostal church in the area. What are you going to be observing when you go to heaven? When you look over the balconies of heaven 50 years from now, 90 years from now, 100 years after you're gone, are you going to see some fulfilled answers to prayer that you died believing and still praying about? That's why I want to encourage you today. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing for what you don't see, because there's example after example that we could show if we had the time of answers to prayer that took place. By faith, by faith, say by faith, walk in and claim your inheritance. Moses told the Israelites to be careful to obey the word of God, to show their love for God by walking in his ways and holding tightly to him. Look at verse 22 of our scripture here in Deuteronomy here. And Moses said, be careful to obey these commands that I'm giving to you. Show love to the Lord, your God. How? By walking in his ways and holding tight to him. And then, God says, then the Lord will drive out all the nations ahead of you, though they are much greater and stronger than you, and you will take over their land. And he says this, and I love this part, every place on which the sole of your foot treads upon shall be yours. No man shall be able to stand against you. Listen, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's really what Moses is saying. He says, no one will be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God, he is the one who's going to cause the people to fear and to dread and dread of you. And he promised, as he promised, wherever you go in the whole land, it's going to be yours. You know, what is what God promised you? You know, God promised this church certain things. You know, I dreamed about them years and years ago. When Pastor Roger was here, we dreamed together about those, talked about these things, talked about this day when a building like this might be erected. It was beyond our wildest dreams that it would be this awesome. And Pastor Mike came and Nick was there during the whole time. We dreamed and we planned and we talked about what God was speaking to us in prayer about the future and about what God had ahead for us. We dreamed, we prayed, we believed, even though we didn't see it. And now we inherited what God has. And now God has greater things that we need to dream and plan and strategize for and reach out for. How many know that God isn't done yet? God's up to something. We need to continue to have a good confession. Pray, believe, and continue to have a good confession. Even when things are negative. Just because they're negative doesn't mean you have to be negative. I was being negative about something last week, and my wife looked at me finally and said, you know, you're just, and I said, I know, God's already told me to stop it. He's already told me to stop it, and I know I'm wrong, I'm going to quit doing it. And it was like, my mind always goes back to when my second oldest daughter was probably at third grade, I don't remember what she was in, and she, you know, all through college, I mean, just 4.0, I mean, she's just brilliant gal, but she sat at her doing her homework night after night, and it was the subject she hated the most. Just despised it. I mean, hated it. How many hated a subject in school? And it was math. And she sat there one night at the dining room table, and she put her head in her hands, and she began to just sob and weep. And through her weeping, she muttered out, I hate math. I hate math. I hate math. I hate math. And the Spirit of God did something inside of me. And I realized that she got to stop this. And I said, you stop saying that right now. I don't ever want to hear, but Daddy, I don't ever want to hear you say that again. But you might hate it. I never want to hear you say that again or even think it. I thought, so is a man or a girl, little girl, thinks in her heart, so is she. You know, she's being bound by her confession, negative confession, that she hates it. It's like, stop hating. Stop confessing it. Stop thinking about it. Let your mind be transformed. Capture those thoughts. Bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And I forbid her to do that. And I thought about myself, whining and complaining. Here I go again. And I go back, what'd you tell your daughter? Sometimes, how many have to eat your own words sometimes? And I went back, okay, God, I hear you. I hear you. And when Donna said it again, I said, I know. And I thought, okay, I'm stopping. I'm going to do this with a good attitude or not at all. And that's what she said. Either do it or don't do it. But stop complaining. How many of your wives are like that? Kind of irritating, isn't it? But we continue the good in confession. And so I started being positive, and God blessed. Caleb said? He said, we can certainly conquer it. Joshua was like, amen, brother, preach it. And 40 years later, Caleb's faith confession was still positive. Over the years, he didn't whine, he didn't complain, he didn't moan and groan because you people cost me. Ha ha! Ah, look at your dad died. You know why? He didn't do that. But instead, he just kept believing, kept praying, kept believing, kept his confession. One day I'm going to walk in that land. One day I'm going to inherit my inheritance. One day that's going to be mine. One day I'm going to live in houses that I didn't build. I'm going to eat from crops and drink wine that I didn't grow the vineyards. Because God said it. I know it doesn't look good, but it's going to happen because God said it and I believe it, and that's enough for me. And so he crosses over, and there he is. And he goes to Joshua on the day they crossed over the land. This is like 45 years later, and he crosses over the land, and Joshua's up as the head of Israel, dividing up the inheritance, the sections of land for each clan and each member of each clan. And he comes to, Caleb's turn comes to the front of the line, and Caleb says, "Hey, you remember Joshua, you remember?" And he reminds Joshua as if Joshua needed reminded. "You remember what Moses told me on the other side of the river? You remember?" Yeah, I remember. "You remember that you and I were the only ones with the positive confession and we were victims of the majority rule?" Yeah, I remember. "Do you remember that this was supposed to be my land?" I remember. And his thing is, I know that there's this section of land that's mine that was promised to me, that it has giants, the sons of Anak, there. And I know there's a lot of giants there, but here's his confession. I wholeheartedly, I could say whole hogged, I'm from the south, wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. And he says, "The Lord has kept me alive and well. And today I'm 85 years old, and today I'm as strong as I was when Moses sent me out on that journey. I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. And I know there's still giants in the land, and that's just fine with me because I'm ready for a scrap. I'm ready to drive them out." And he says this, "But if the Lord is with me," and really I know that he is because he's never left me or forsaken me. He says, "I will drive out the giants of the land just as the Lord said. If God said it, I believe it, that's good enough for me." And that's really what Caleb was saying. Caleb's delay didn't cause him to be bitter. Caleb's delay caused him to be more hungry than he ever was for the promise to be fulfilled. Caleb longed for the day when he could taste the fruit of the land one more time. I always, when I read this passage, I told you this last week, so forgive me if I'm repetitive, but Caleb, the taste and the sweetness of the fruit still lingered in his mind. And he wanted another bite of that fruit. Rebecca Hayward Bauer continues to say in her commentary of this, that there is a message in the spirit of Caleb's response to the rejection of his faith-filled report. This is going back 40 years later, before. Some use their confession of faith to cultivate schism, to start problems. But Caleb stood his ground in faith and still moved in partnership and support for 40 years beside many whose unbelief delayed his own experience. What patience as well as faith that he exhibited. His eventual actual possession of the land at a later date indicates that even though delays come, faith's confession will ultimately bring the victory to the believer. Faith's confession will ultimately believe the victory to the believer. I believe that while Caleb waited, he spent his time nurturing his faith. I believe he built himself up through prayer and confession. I like to call it self-talk, or people think you're nuts, but you're talking to yourself and building yourself up in the most holy faith. Jude said in that one chapter, New Testament, right before Revelation, that we're supposed to build ourselves up in the most holy faith by praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. I don't think he prayed in tongues back then, but he prayed and he built himself up, reminding himself of the promises of God and remembering what the land looked like when he was there. And he chose, instead of being bitter, he chose to remember the promises of God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back, but what are you still believing God for? Just in closing here, what are you still believing God for? What have you been praying for? And maybe, as we talked earlier, maybe you got tired of waiting and you said, "I'm just not going to pray anymore." I'm going to encourage you to continue to go back to pray and believe. Believe what you don't see and continue to confess what God has promised to you. There's power in agreement. When you're confessing what God promised, you're agreeing with God. And I'm just encourage you to press in around the altar today and just, if you want one of these elders to pray with you and agree with you in prayer for what God has shown you, then you do that. It doesn't matter how crazy it seems, how impossible it seems. I'll tell you, back in North Dakota, I pastored there and I shared a vision that I had for that church. And I said, I believe that it'd be wonderful if we had an addition, if we had a small gymnasium so we could have winter activities and be an outreach in the community with that and just open it up. And the elders laughed at me. I mean, they laughed in scorn. It's like, that's not going to happen. And yet I prayed and I kept believing. I kept thinking, I couldn't shake it. I thought, I just can't shake that, God. All things are possible with you. Well, guess what happened a couple years ago while we were building this? A new generation pastor led the congregation and they built the small gymnasium and they're using it for outreach. I mean, God fulfilled that. At the same time, we're building ours and we have a gymnasium too, a worship center. So God fulfilled his promise to me. There was a delay, but we persevere through the delays and are patient with God. We need to pray, believe, and continue to confess what God has given to us. Somebody say amen.